Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm going back to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walking
around the final second, the whistle is gone, and Sligo Rovers are the champions.
By the riverside,
well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Get it right and drive it clean out over the fence. Out in the Sligo
Rovers. Episode 2, Sligo Podcast. Joined here by Rossa Boy, Lorne Miarty. I'm Adrian O'Parton. It's great to be here. Lads, welcome.
Yes, it's great to be back.
Good to be back for week 2. Looking forward to it.
Didn't think we'd see it this far.
Certainly didn't, but happy with where we're at.
Yeah, we were nearly cancelled there about 3 minutes ago. Sound engineer in Tansy had an awful cut at me. For banging a pen on the table. So
don't do it.
Look, that's the standards. You set the bar high, Tansy. You're dead right.
Learned my lesson. I've been scolded. But no, we're very happy to be back. Great reaction last week, lads.
Yeah, look, very positive. I was surprised at how many people actually listened to it. People seem to enjoy it, so let's hope we can do it again this week.
Yeah, it was good buy-in, especially from all the expats. They seem to be really enjoying it from overseas, checking in on what's going on, so it was great to hear from everybody.
We should send one of those messages here on Facebook. Wow, blown away by all these comments.
Maybe blessed.
Or else one of the tweets, you see a footballer tweeting to fans after a game. Yeah, we let you down last week, but the fans are unreal. We go again.
Jim Monday, we go again.
No, but it was a good week. I suppose last week, the Sligo news with the footballers had just broken just as we were kind of recording. So
pretty bad. Yeah, it was pretty bad timing for us, I suppose. But I suppose we did kind of feel at the time that we were recording that, that the game wasn't going to go ahead. I know we're going to talk about it later in the show, but I don't think it came as any surprise to anybody that that game did not go ahead.
Dan Russell Boyd shakes his head in agreement. across the studio.
I'll hold my reservations for later
across
on.
Across the lair. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Around part 4, I have it down here. We'll go to correspondence soon enough. Had a bit in, lads. We have some, of course, Rovers. Big night last night.
Yeah.
What a finish to the season. League season. Season's not over yet.
Yeah, I'm still buzzing here, Edo. Great night. What a couple of results now. It's great. Back in Europe again. I thought it was going to be a long time before we were going to be back there again. But what a performance last night by the team. I mean, That was up there with the best wins I've seen even in the last 10, 15 years. It's been amazing from Rovers.
Yeah. You were delighted last night in the WhatsApp group, and you're a little bit emotional about it.
I was a little bit emotional, yeah. I hope I don't get too emotional now during the show.
Tansy's the tissues ready anyway, so it's a safe place.
I was off my balcony playing a Finn Harp song last night, which I think the neighbours found a bit strange. But
yeah, we'll have a bit of that later on as well. It's an absolute belter. Although it's association with Rangers and a bit of Man United as well. But no, it's good. It's good, the boy. The Poison Valley of Brinton, they know a good chant. Yeah, we'll have that. We'll have rugby then, Ross, with Ross, and we'll go to the GA then and finish up with our Lock of the Week and Sligo, our inaugural Sligo Dancer of the Week. It's a Twitter poll put out. We'll come to that in a second. Lock of the Week, lads, another inaugural. Everything was inaugural last week.
Yeah, everything was first time off.
Lock of the Week didn't go too well.
No, we started well. We started well.
Yeah, we started well. Now the Southland Derby. It was
the obscure bet came through with your farm that Ross had a Southland rugby team in New Zealand.
The Mitre 10 Cup.
At 6:30 in the morning as a plus 10 handicap, was it?
Yeah. I am surprised. There was a good few people following that bet, which did surprise me. So I suppose on my own behalf, Brentford, the Bees were, they're usually a locking at home, but Neil Warnock has that middle of the side tuned up. Maybe I should have factored that in when I was doing it last week. I don't know.
Yeah, I looked at the table then after what the bet was put in on the Friday, and I was like, this isn't going to be a lock of the week.
We've got a better one to pick for this week, I think.
See, Roscommon let me down. I was always told when I was younger, never trust Roscommon, man. But I didn't listen to it. I should have. No, they were poor against. Actually, what am I talking about? They're poor against Mayo because I fell asleep during the whole game. I woke up to the final whistle was going. So Roscommon didn't come true against Mayo. Lock of the week. But hopefully, we'll bring it home this week. Hopefully, lads. We've similar old. No, you have a new sport coming into it this week.
Yeah, it's a bit wilder this week now. But.
Yeah, but look, that's the way I am. A big roaster. So Dancer of the Week, lads. Roscoe, I'll let the man who nominated him as Dancer of the Week announce the winner. Inaugural pair of Sligo Way White Fronts.
So the Sligo Way White Fronts are going to at Sligo Stats. That was my nomination. Right. So I got 3 points on the board. I suppose, the mystery behind Sligo Stats.
Who do we send them to?
Yeah, they'll probably have to get in touch with us via DM. Look, we won't reveal your identity, but we'd like to get them Y-fronts out to you anyway. So.
And we'd like some sort of a kind of a face down. You don't have to show the face, but just the body down with the Y-fronts on.
This could get in with the OnlyFans page we're talking about launching, is it?
Interesting revenue stream potentially, all right, yeah. But Sligo Stats.
Very niche market.
We'd love to see you in the pair of whites.
They're getting manufactured a minute. We sent Tano, you went looking for white fronts for us today. they're not an essential item, it turns out. So the printing press is cold.
Yeah. So, but look, in production, the print machine is working. But
test done. Yeah, we look forward to getting them out to whoever and whomever or whatever Sligo Stats is.
It could be anything.
It could be. Is it a bot? I don't know.
Yeah. If people have any ideas around that, just DM the page. Our DMs are open.
Slide right in.
Yeah.
All right, lads. That's an introduction. We'll go to a bit of correspondence.
Hello. My name is Mr. Burns. I believe you have a letter for me.
Okay, Mr. Burns. What's your first name?
I don't know.
Okay, welcome to correspondence section, lads. We had a bit in during the week. Of course, Willie got in touch last week. Yep. Willie Rogers. A lot of people worried about him. I got a lot of messages saying great to hear from Willie from Drummer School. He probably hasn't been heard since the Warder logging out in Strand Celtic.
he's in good health, though. We were speaking to him during the week.
He's obviously hooked up to the World Wide Web.
He got over that knee operation, I think. The swimming really helped, though.
He did, Robert Cabman helped him through with that. Anyways, this week, we'll start, lads. We got a tweet in from Fergal O'Donnell. I'll read it out. Enjoyed the podcast, lads. Well done. There was nearly what grinds my gears at one stage. I'd say that's in relation to the GA, but I went on a rant about the Sligo coronavirus Facebook page.
The monk. Good feedback on the monk as well, actually.
Yeah. Maybe a topic for next week. Who's the best player ever to play in the showgrounds? We'll have just the best player we've seen, I suppose. I'll throw it to you, Murty, first.
I assume Fergal means the best player to play for Rovers. Look, there'll be a good few contenders for that one. Even going back to the mid-90s, the likes of Eddie Annand. I mentioned Johnny Kenny last week. Even going through that, even Willie McStay was fantastic as a player manager. But for me, probably only one person stands out. From 1928, when Sligo Rovers were formed, to 2008, the club won 5 major trophies. In 2009, they signed Joey and Doe, and in the following 5 seasons, won 6 major trophies. So, and we haven't won one since. So, there's a lot that would fall. Like, there's a lot of players I would look back thinking that are great players, but the greatest player I think I've seen playing the showgrounds, both football wise and the difference he made to the football club, was Joseph and Doe.
Yeah, I knew you want to say that, I think. Well, because you told me you were going to say a few minutes ago when I said I was going to say it. He was something else. Like, he wasn't just, he had all the skill in the world, whatever, but he's all this great highlights reel. But as you said, he brought just a different culture completely, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. And I think people do actually forget that. Like, that stat is, I always find, is a great stat that, did everyone six trophies in 5 years when he was there, he's just an amazing person. He's trained a couple of times with us with Cartron, and he can still do it on the pitch, I can confirm as well.
Signing with a transfer form?
No sign of a transfer form just yet. I don't know if he actually wants to play, but he came down for training. He'd have a couple of contacts with the club. So
it's a nice Nice guy too.
Ah, he's a lovely fella. Yeah. Lovely fella. Great addition to the town. I love the stories about you get the people signing for Rovers and they end up just coming here and staying here forever. Yeah, yeah. There's so many of them around. Like even big Anthony Eldin out in Riverstown there.
Yeah.
He's a fireman now, I think, is he?
Is he? His young fella's banging in the goals for under.
He is, yeah, jump, yeah. He looks like a good player.
Roscoe? Sorry, I'm going for Ndo as well there. If it's the Rovers thing, if it was a case of best player opposition, I don't know. I just think Tony Sheridan. Remember Tony Sheridan flew with Shells?
Yeah.
He probably wasn't the best player in the field.
No, Tony Sheridan was great.
He was
player,
silky.
Yeah.
I think he was brilliant. Yeah. Shells around that time, around 95, 96 it was. Yeah. Yeah, he was very good. Yeah. Roscoe?
Yeah, I'm going to mix it up a little bit. Probably not going as much for a legend, but I'm going to go for Darren Mansaram.
go ahead.
Yeah, no. Okay, all ears. A couple of memorable chants, and I believe he actually had to share a house with John Bellew at one stage, and both of them were involved with Bohemian. So any man that had to put up a Bellew in a house gets the gong from me.
Darren Mansaram, if you're listening, you're Ross Boyle's professor of player in the showgrounds, the Mans. Yeah, did Bellew live with him up in DCU when they were with Bulls?
I believe so, yeah. I think
Shawnee
so.
Connor brought them up. I remember Bellew driving me to Dublin one day when he's up the train with Bulls. He got up once a week. He sent a loan to Donegal Celtic then, Johnny Bellew.
And Ronan, you'd be a chairperson now. John Bellew would be under your wing, would he?
John Bellew would be under my wing, yeah. John.
Man's rabbits forgotten about completely.
It's the John Bellew show. It's the John Bellew show. Bellew, great character to have around the club. He's obviously, he's got work commitments, so it's hard to tie him down week to week, but look, he's still a big bull when he gets the ball. it's hard to get it off him, and he's, as I say, a great character.
But let's track down Mansaram if we get an old Google going there. He'd be a good man to get in the show. He was around through memorable times. So Darren Mansaram, Roscoe. Fergal, hope that answers your question. Joey and Dolan said. For us, I think. Shane McGoldrick messaged in, are Glenn Gordon's legs really plastic? That was an old song from the Quayside Rovers days. No one probably gets the reference. It went to, what was it? Andy Johnson, Lubo Maracic, Glenn Gordon's legs are plastic.
It works.
Yeah, because he broke his leg and he had a bit of operation. So that was that. Niall Brady asked, is Paddy Hennessy a better bouncer or referee? I think he only refereed once in the Gaelic. And I think, Tansy, you said what I was going to say as well. He was a better bouncer because he... I wasn't old enough to get into Denby when he let me in. So great bouncer. Anything on that, lads?
Paddy Hennessy was a great bouncer. He was probably the first man I feared in town, I would have said.
Yeah, top bouncer.
Strolling up there as a 16-year-old, it was it was tough going back in the day. But top man, top bouncer.
Yeah, so better bouncer and referee. We'll go with that.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Pack in the whistle and get the tux back on, Paddy. and then our last bit of correspondence. I'll read this out. Come through on the messenger on Facebook. Good morning. My message. It was 9:38 a.m. I was going to question this time, but good morning. My message is for Ronan. Are you listening?
I'm here.
What's your opinion on cursing priests at League of Ireland games? I remember attending a Rovers at Lone Town game in the mid-90s and was appalled to hear a priest, who's now retired and will remain nameless, cursing in the shed. Should priests be allowed to let the collar off every now and again to let it all out, or are they setting a bad example to the wider Sligo community? Mags in Tullahan.
Strange one, Mags. You might have a bit of chainsaw on you there, Mags, I'd say.
Mags in Tullahan message came through off Gary Clancy's Facebook page.
Yeah, the
that is a bit strange.
Now, so either Gary was lurking around with a Mags and he picked up his phone.
Or a Mags Callahan, Tullahan has stolen Gary's phone. Yeah. So if that's the case, Gary Clancy, check in. Have you got your phone still?
Good question.
You might clarify that a bit better for next week, Gary. I suppose in answer to the main part of your question, I suppose priests should be allowed to take the collar off every once in a while.
Roscoe?
I think that's what he's getting at, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it was to you.
I was trying. There's a couple of questions in it within, but yeah.
Well, I don't need to. It's your opinion on cursing priests at the game, and also should they be allowed? Let it all out.
If the collar's off. Let it out.
Yeah, he's not wearing
that
the collar. He's in the shed. Yeah, and Mags and Gary, thanks for it, man. you've caused consternation with this message, Clancy. Cursing priests in the shed in the 90s, yeah, go for it. I'd say you must have really left a mark on you if you still remember it. But That's good. Oh, one last one. Connor Kenny sent a great suggestion. We're going to get to that in a future.
Yeah. Connor Kenny's actually...
this could be a regular piece going forward.
Yeah, he was actually looking for us to do a villain, a Sligo villain. Yeah, so yeah. I suppose, like, without giving away any names, we actually stumbled across a few characters that we could potentially
use. I don't
use.
Even have sporting.
No.
Just general villains.
Well, there was a couple of sporting ones.
Oh, there is sporting ones.
Yeah, we'll get a good segment on that now. We'll have a bit of a think and get some good names.
Give us one off the top of the head there.
Sean Connor.
Right. Who are you going for, Oscar?
Where are you? There's somebody...
The Frenchman. Do you remember him?
He
put the willies up me now when I was putting 10. He burnt down the Carlton. And then, if you remember the Frenchman, get involved. Because he's definitely a Sligo villain. Roscoe, you might think of one. No pressure on right now, like. Who do you really hate, Ross?
I'm going to keep muting this one.
Right,
I don't want
to
be having trouble.
So maybe a segment going forward. Sligo's great. We'll keep it sporting, I think, because...
Oh, we could be...
Whenever we go off that, we get a bit of trouble. Like, we tried a newspaper section last week and it just didn't work out.
Had to be edited out. It ended up with Ross reading the court pages about a Shamrock Rovers fan. It was bad.
That might make
it sounded better.
It might make our cut section at Christmas, maybe. We can.
Yeah, the bloopers reel. Yeah.
Right, that's all with the correspondence, lads. We're going to come back with the Rovers.
Finn Herbs, we're really on the way.
Finn Herbs, really in the stay.
Up the Herbs, lads.
Up the Herbs.
The Rovers section has started with a tribute to our great neighbours in Ballywell Fae.
A raucous tribute.
Raucous. I was going to call it the shed. They do have a shed there still.
One of the few grounds left with the shed, actually.
One of the few grounds.
We'll give them a pass on that.
Definitely letting supporters in. There's a few people lurking around. I watched the Shams game. There was a lot of Stuarts.
Yeah. It's a good way to get a few in, all right, actually.
What a win for the Harps, lads.
Great win for the Harps, as well. Starting off our Rovers section.
Yeah.
Glad to see them stay up, but...
it's all about Rovers.
Obviously, it made a huge difference to us.
Dundalk last night.
Yeah.
Talk us through it.
Fantastic performance. I mean, like, we went there and now, look, I know Dundalk are probably leggy after playing in the Europa League, but like, they've still got a squad. I'd say their budget is probably twice ours at this stage. We started off brightly. Then was it 12 minutes in, I think. Jesse Devers, I think he was going for the top corner. I think he spotted Rogers off his line. I think there'll be a few men out there. There is a big Jesse DeBrady fan club out there on Twitter. So, so went 1-0 up actually for the 10 or 15 minutes after we scored. We didn't create any major chances, but I actually still thought we were the better team. Got to halftime 1-0. Ed McGinty had a fantastic save. Just about 3 minutes before half time. Save of the season. It might be one of the best saves I've ever seen. So we got to half time. Second half again, Dundalk came at us as you'd expect. Ed made another great save at one stage, but I never felt that they were, you know, bombarding us. We had the one goal lead. At this stage now, with about 20 minutes to go, it was a case of trying to watch Ballywell Fae and watch Dundalk because.
Well, that was the thing. Harps took the lead just before half time.
Yeah.
So when we took the lead for 12, whatever, with Davers, Jesse.
The body.
We still needed Harps' goal.
Yeah, yes.
Within four half time, you were just... I know you're watching two games anyways, but you were suddenly...
I must say, the last 20 minutes were probably as nervous as I've been watching a Sligo Rovers match in, I don't know, 10 or 15, like even 10 years.
Anyway. You animated in the showgrounds.
And I have been animated in the showgrounds, Adrian. But look, then... I really thought it was back to the walls, but like I never felt like Dundalk were absolutely battering us in a way,
no,
you know, that you would expect kind of from Dundalk. Like at the end of the day, Dundalk didn't really know what was going on in Ballybofe either, you know, and they were looking to finish third. Yeah. So, and then look, 92nd minute on the counter attack, Coughlin fires in an absolute bullet into the top corner.
Cool.
At this stage, a fella for Harps was clearing one off the line.
That was outrageous.
Outrageous.
See, Roscoe, I didn't say that, no.
It was up on Twitter, and whoever done the edit for the Twitter cut it, like...
Yeah, cut it at the wrong time, right?
There was... The keeper was out the fucking... Sorry, language. The keeper was past the penalty spot, ball had gone behind him. It was actually 2-1-1 nearly. There was a fella on the line.
Yeah, there was a guy the other side.
He's always going to shoot, and he squared it, and the last man, the line, kept Harps out of playoff and put us into a potential... European position and kept Waterford out of Europe.
Yep, great to see. I don't think it's quite fully sunk in yet. Now, obviously, look, there is a way where we can't, where we don't qualify. We've nearly got that in our own hands because we'd be playing Derry in the quarterfinals. Just a reminder that if Derry win the cup,
or
if Athlone were to win the cup, which would be, yeah, that'd be
Mighty Ducks type stuff.
It really, really would. But look, it was a great, like, performance has been patchy. You know, there's been a couple, I think we discussed that last week, there has been a couple of bad performances thrown in there. But in the main, since we returned from lockdown, I mean, we've been very, very good. And, like, you know, this is, like, I genuinely feel, I think I mentioned that last week as well, the start of our success was qualifying for Europe in 2008. I do feel...
I was thinking that today.
Yeah.
Like, that clearly was the building block. There was a bit of money, but to bring extra quality and keep quality and bring it down the line in 4 or 5 years' time.
Yeah.
To win a league.
To win a league, exactly, yeah. And it definitely was the building block. I know the year after we qualified, we weren't great in the league that year, but we did qualify for the cup final against Fingal, the one we lost. But then 2010, we were winning FAI Cup and League Cup. Obviously went down 2011, winning the cup, 2012 to win the league. I think we got the right man in charge. I think we've got the right man in charge, and it's just the difference the qualifying for Europe makes. I mean, you could potentially be talking about half or three quarters of your budget if you win a game in it. You know, it's absolutely huge. And
in terms of holding on to players as well,
big time, yeah. And it just allows us. And like, I think even in Liam Buckley's interview last night, you could see that little bit of excitement with him. You know, I think he knows that he'll have a bit more of a war chest to go with next year. It already has me excited. I've probably been on edge since last night. As I mentioned earlier, I was singing Finn Harp songs off my balcony last night, which is that's a new one for even me.
Maybe get the neighbours to check in to confirm that.
Well, they heard a big shout about 2 minutes before that.
It is a banger, in fairness.
One more time, Marty.
Finn Harps, we're really on the way.
On the Harps. But a special mention to Raf Cotero, of course. The Tubber Curry Tornado.
Yeah, we'll toast our white wine spritzers here to Raf.
Still going strong.
Yeah, Colin Mullaney was actually doing the commentary on it for League Watch LOI. Good Sligo man.
Yeah.
Great. But, yeah, so Europe comes around next June, so... Europa League 2, I believe it's going
to
be.
Europa League 2, yeah. I was doing a bit of reading.
I tried to do it myself.
Yeah, it's kind of complicated.
There's no new nations, or there's no new places for nations that they're not already getting for exactly. Europa League. It's just...
There's less of the bigger teams going into the competition. Yeah.
But that's because the Europa League 1, as we call it now, has been dumbed down as well. That's not going to be as many teams.
No, there's not going to be as many teams in Europa League 1, I suppose, is what we're going to call
it.
It's going
to be the exact same strength of Europe that we would have been up against anyway.
Usually in the early qualifying rounds. Yeah. From my reading of it now, I don't know how they're going to work it.
Yeah,
not with. I suppose we've been out of Europe. Your coefficient is based on your last 5 years in Europe. We obviously haven't been in Europe, so our coefficient will actually be quite small for the draw. To be honest, it looks like in the first round anyway, we should be drawing a team quite similar in standard to us, even if they are seeded. So look, it really is just something to look forward to next year. Obviously with the news yesterday of a potential vaccine against COVID, I don't think we're going to get into too much COVID related stuff here, but what a day.
There was a lot of people excited about trips to Europe, wasn't there?
That was the talk of it last night now, but it's such a difference it'll make. You nearly felt bad for Shamrock Rovers there getting AC Milan over and couldn't get a fan into the stadium.
I've never felt bad for Shamrock Rovers in my life, Ross. Really, it was actually...
You won't get much sympathy there.
No, I actually thought it was hilarious, to be honest with you.
It was an up and down evening, wasn't it? Like, not up and down, but I suppose the early Rovers goal settled a bit, but I was watching a league table, that was all I was nearly doing.
Yeah. And of course, Ross was doing the As It Stands on our Twitter page.
That was
page
actually
that,
me.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was Ross.
No.
Apologies. I take it back. Yeah, it was. It was, I suppose... You're right. I think I didn't really believe it until Harp scored. You just kind of felt something was, you know, going to go wrong. Then even
heading extra time as well.
Yeah, six minutes he put up. You know, like heading into the second half, you know, you're sitting there watching two games that are 1-0, and you need them both to stay that way. Like it was tough watching for the second half, but again, great feeling from talking to people. Last night and seeing the reaction on Twitter, like
Twitter went
you can just
wild, didn't it?
Yeah, you can just see like I don't care what anybody says, like Sligo Rovers is the heartbeat of Sligo town and the county. It's a club for the people, You could see by the reaction last night.
I've seen Berkey saying that Ian Burke said to save Christmas.
They've saved Christmas, yeah.
Good feeling for a bleak Monday night, though, in fairness. In November.
Yeah, and even just overall, I suppose, we've been talking about this lockdown. This lockdown, I definitely think, you know, it's been harder to get out and do a bit, but it's a lot easier in the fact that there's sport on TV, you know, between the soccer and the Gaelic, the rugby, you know, there's plenty on now. But yeah.
Nice to see some Monday night games, isn't it?
Yeah, like even with that last night, like, you know, you'd love to be there, but. Like, to watch League of Ireland stream wasn't great. In fairness to them, I think it was the first time they were broadcasting five games at once, so you'd probably give them a little bit of a pass, but it was the second best thing to not be in there, you know?
Yeah. So, I won't go into, we'll go down into this further down the line if more episodes come, but for next year, it gives Buckley a chance to add to the squad and keep what he wants, I suppose. What do you think needs to be added? An extra step.
To go the extra step, I genuinely need to get to that next step to get to that Shams and Dundalk
That's
level.
A long way away. Well, Dundalk isn't a long way, but Shams have.
Yeah, we could be looking at probably a couple of years. Yeah. I suppose you probably will be just looking to build a squad. I think you're going to have to look at having, you know, maybe it was a weakness where, especially early on, we didn't have players to come off the bench that could really affect the game. They'd be probably. Definitely the areas I'd be looking improving, just our overall squad. I do think it has to be mentioned, though, like that team was probably backboned by three lads that have come through the academy. John Mahon, who was absolutely exceptional last night. Horrific injury at the start of the year. Niall Moran has probably been player of the season. Again, another great game last night. You know, and then Ed McGinty in goals. Now, I know Ed was signed a bit later, but, you know, he's up sticks. He's moved over here from Scotland. Yeah. There are three lads who get it, and I think that rubs off. And even someone like David Cawley now, you know, he'd be an honorary Sligo man at this stage. Like, you need people to get the football club, you know, to just... And I know Liam Buckley has references that since he's come here, he just cannot believe what it actually means to the people of Sligo.
Well, he even mentioned it, Neil, on the Sinfield last night, the beaches. And
yeah.
Doing a bit for tourism.
But even before last night, getting the top four, there was big... The big thing was, I said, like, the last few weeks, there's been 2-year contracts wrapped up with a lot of players. That's massive.
Massive, yeah. And, like, fair play to the club. I mean, it's...
Not common around the league.
No, and it's, you know, you're looking at the season next year, you don't know whether there's going to be people there or not, you know. I suppose this European money will give a bit of a... Again, assuming we get to Europe, but, like, I suppose that'll give them a bit of a break to be able to sign players and maybe get another couple of players on their contract that are in the squad there. But yeah, no, fair play to the club, especially, you know, the likes of Mahon and Moran. You want them type of lads tied down. David Cawley as well tied down. I assume they'll be doing business over the next couple of weeks as well.
I think so. McMahon, I suppose, season would have been in the cup final, probably would have been last week if everything went.
If everything was normal, yeah.
So he didn't expect to see much football this year at all.
No.
But kind of work for him, come back from the horror injury. Give the cup a lash now, surely. Nothing to lose there. Well, have the Derry match is actually
just,
pretty important.
Just beat Derry and just get, that knocks one block out of the way to make sure we get to Europe. But yeah, essentially we've a free shot at the cup now. Do you know, like, there's no reason why I'd be hopeful we'd definitely beat Derry in the showgrounds. Big time, yeah. Big time. Derry, you know, Derry haven't, although it's been a funny league, you know, they only finished like 5 points off us, but they're a point outside the relegation playoff there last night, so. No reason to fear Derry in that quarter final. And then look, we'll be away to Shams in the semi final. It pains me to say it, but they're clearly the best team in the league at the minute. But again, you just have a free lash at them and just have a go.
You know, final, anything can happen. I was delighted for Ronan Coughlin scoring this night.
Brilliant, chat. Yeah,
he's the first few games of lockdown and the four games before lockdown, he was just breaking his balls every single game. He was shattered. And then he seemed to get no real rest at all. And his form wasn't great.
Yeah, well, he hasn't missed a minute of the season.
Yeah.
He's played
No rest at all. No real rest.
You know.
So his form probably dipped a bit. I don't know. Is it true?
Yeah.
I just thought it did. And I seen a few people saying that as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think he had a couple of games there where it wasn't just the usual that you'd expect from Coughlin. But, like, even he just does so much work up there.
It's huge. Nice reward then.
Nice reward with the goal, yeah. And just, I suppose... Him, I think there was only two outfield players who have played every minute of the whole season. So, like, I mean, that's a grand... I think it might have been the Bowes goalkeeper.
Oh, right, sorry.
That have played every minute of the season. I'll have to check that, but I think it's a great stat itself. You know, for a striker that literally runs his off every game, you know?
Oh, curse away.
Yeah, curse away. But, you know... Yeah, I mean, we just got to, I think we just got to try and hoover up now the best players that we have within our squad and start looking maybe further afield and hopefully just keep this momentum regardless of what happens in the cup. We'll have momentum going into next season anyway.
Sounds good. One more time. Right, we can't leave the Rovers lads without mentioning a special anniversary that occurred last Thursday, the 5th of November.
Oh, it'll be forever remembered in Sligo history.
Remember the 5th of November. Ross, were you in Sligo? You were doing away 2012. Taxigate. Aaron, you asked me what Taxigate was there earlier. Hard to describe.
It was really when we've seen the best of our town, I think. That's funny.
Yeah. There's going to be a special. There's been a few people looking for a Taxigate special. We actually tried to look up Jason McGuinness. I'd say he's not tired found, in fairness. We didn't look too hard. Search his name on Twitter.
If anyone knows where he is, get onto the page. We'll contact him.
Yeah, I'd love to do a Taxigate special. Yeah. What a time for social. And Twitter wasn't that big back then. Wasn't huge.
It was more Facebook orientated.
Well, that's where the comments came from. And the whole thread is up there somewhere. I might put it up. I think we put it up last week, actually.
There is a link to it, all right, yeah.
Some huge shouts. Special mention to Michael Bree. Gary Clancy came in with a few.
Neil O'Brien had a great day on it that day, yeah.
Crackers, yeah.
Martin Bricks.
Martin Bricks, he came in. and then there's just a few characters in there as well.
Lest we forget.
I was going to say something. It's gone out of my head. There was where Gary Dillon was making all the posts. He was good with the social media.
He was,
images
yeah.
up. There was a Hitler video. That was it. It was the election was going on for Obama's second
term. Yeah,
I can't think of tweets to make a Taxigate trended ahead of it in Ireland. And if you search Taxigate, there's been a few Taxigate actually because I think Garrett Barry robbed a taxi and they. West Brom started calling Taxigate and his other bits, but if you search hashtag Taxigate, you'll eventually come to some Rovers stuff and like there's other clubs asking, can any Rovers fans explain to me what Taxigate is? How did you explain it really? A man wasn't happy the price was taxi and gave out about it.
And he shook his fist.
And he shook
the way he missed is the
and then it went on Facebook and then it just blew up. I'm still buried from the Sligo Champion page on Facebook for commenting because of it. But anyways, that's coming up.
We will definitely have a special.
Taxigate special coming up hopefully. That'll be a live show. That's off in Rovers. Back next week with more from that. Rugby coming up.
On to Cook. Campisi. Campisi, the change of pace again. The dummy and clear. Oh, what another. Just mesmeric try.
Okay, back with rugby. Roscoe, not a huge amount of rugby going on this week.
No, there's not much going on. Yeah, we're here. Not much at all in terms of we're still in knockdown. We haven't had any updates yet from the IRFU and Connacht branch about the return to play. So we're just hoping for something there, really.
Any word from the moderator this week?
No word from the moderator now.
I was just thinking,
doesn't say much, though.
During last week's show, I was just thinking, imagine walking into Toffs in 2008 with the sash, the moderator. Yeah. Untouchable.
Untouchable. Straight to VIP upstairs. We laid up. Fat Frog's been dropped down to you. Go, sorry, Ross.
No, you're all right, Adrian. We'll maybe do a full segment on the Fat Frogs and the joy used to bring us back in the day another time. Look, round this week from the rugby club. Hannah Johnston, she's been called into the Irish under-20s training squad.
Yeah, seen that, all right.
So it's nice for Hannah now. She was actually in the Irish under-18s squad as well. It was in a match versus Scotland. And unfortunately, due to COVID, everything was curtailed there, so she didn't actually get capped. So this is a chance for now to get back into the Irish setup and hopefully cement a place in there and then get that cap that she would have hopefully got against Scotland. Another person locally doing a bit at the moment is Dunica Byrne. Dunica's in the Connacht Sevens squad. So they have a new setup this year that the Irish Sevens team play off against Connacht, Munster and Leinster in a bit of a...
I've seen that, yeah. Why aren't Ulster in that?
Pardon?
Why aren't Ulster?
No, they are as well. Ulster as well.
Sorry.
Yeah, they're all
Ulster's
in.
So fighting, sorry.
So basically, it's like the provinces put their seven squad together.
I've seen highlights a few weeks back of something.
But it's really big though because the Irish seven teams, they're in the full World Series now recently. So the sevens is a big focus in the country now. And these sevens, I suppose, series are chances for people to put their eyes in front of the Irish selectors.
Definitely, yeah.
And it's paying dividends now. It's something that the Irish senior team probably hasn't had was Sevens players coming into it. Hugo Keenan came in from the Sevens there recently, and Will Connors. So it's just more feeders for the Irish national team, really.
Where would Donegal Byrne play in a Sevens game, though?
Be there forward. He'd be a prop. Probably, prop, you know, there's three men in the scrum. Yeah. So it's prop, hooker, prop. So it's basically loose forwards playing in the forwards. Or you can put him back.
Once the ball's out, it's all. It's free for all.
That's it, yeah. It's free for all, basically. So it's just, he's going really well, apparently. Our head coach, Paddy Pearson, was talking to Eric Elwood there. Eric said that he's going really well.
Actually, got Eric Elwood's story. I'll tell you later. off there.
Yeah, no worries. I look forward to that. So he's getting stuck in. Really happy with how he's going. Brings a real physical edge to the Sevens series. So it's good to see Donegal there. He's not able to play much other rugby at the moment as he's in the academy. So he's getting some minutes in there playing Sevens. Just with our senior squad as well, the boys are doing Movember. They're week one into it now, so it's good crack to see now. Some of the young fellas are trying really hard to go.
Jeez, you put a photo up during the week of about eight fellas in a thing, and there's one guy.
There was nothing there. Yeah, so we're all really ushering these young fellas on.
Putting a fella down for not growing facial.
It's coming, but
there's a progress photo with nothing.
It's a progress photograph now. There's some baby slugs starting to blossom.
Slugs.
But then to go from a baby slug to just a baby and a slug, Roger Burrows is the only man in the photograph there that's got a good few years on him now, and he went from a fresh face to the look of a paedophile in about 7 days.
Jesus Christ! Right.
A real dirty moustache. So the boys have got the Movember link up on the club social channel. So
good cause.
Wants to tribute there, get into it. And then finally, on the rugby wrap-up, I got to have a Zoom interview with Shawnee Henry.
I was going to ask you at the end. Yeah, how'd that go?
Yeah, that was good. It was good to catch up with Shawnee. Haven't talked to him for a long time, and it was just good to talk about some
ex-Connacht
old stories.
And Munster and Sligo rugby, of course.
Correct. And didn't get to see out his full career. He was injured in his mid-20s, so it was good to catch up with Sean and talk about his professional career and what he's doing now over in America as well, in Boston.
We might put that out in a few, maybe next week or the week after that interview. Just had to do a bit of, well, there's no way, I'm not saying do editing on it, sorry, but we'll get it out next week, hopefully. Sort of, yeah. Yeah. Did you watch the Bledisloe, Australia, New Zealand Saturday morning?
Yeah, I did. I did.
What'd you make?
It's refreshing for the game.
Australian passport, don't you?
I do have an Australian
passport. Well, your boy's done the business. Fair play to you. Congratulations, mate. That was a terrible Australian accent. Bloody congratulations.
Yeah, it was good to see the Kiwis get bet. It's good for the sport. It's just one of those things as well when someone's winning every
two
year.
Two Kiwi
like
jibes there in the last 30 seconds. Yeah, they were good. Even there was a bit of roughhousing, I was going to say. That sounds like something from the 40s.
Two red cards early on. The referee was consistent, to be fair to him. Just, tackles. It wasn't malicious. They were just a little bit sloppy. And unfortunately, the first point of contact was on the face. The players weren't ducking or anything. So it was
just the way the game is now, was it?
Just the way the game is. So it was, you thought it was going to ruin the game. But then Australia went and even things up with Lachie Swinton on debut getting a red card as well. So that brought it down to 14 aside each. And it was a really good game. It was good for the sport to see Australia win it. A couple of new young fellas coming through there as well. So hopefully that's, put the spark back into that rivalry again.
Yeah. And Ireland back in action this week, Friday night. Autumn Nations Cup.
Autumn Nations
what
Cup.
What kind of structures? I actually...
Yeah, so look, basically I believe they're playing Fiji and Wales and a bit of...
And England.
And England
and
as well.
And there's another game as well. Maybe it's at the final. There's definitely four games.
There is. There's a final going after it as well.
But there's only three being listed, so...
we'll see.
That's Friday night.
Friday night, yeah. So look...
In the Aviva?
Was that
in the Aviva?
It is, yeah. So looking forward to that now as well. A couple of players in there that haven't got James Lowe.
James Lowe's a big one.
Looking forward to seeing him finally now in the green jersey, and then a few lads like Ronan Kelleher, the hooker. Good to see how he goes. He's been touted as the next big thing, but he's had a couple of injuries. So see how he goes this weekend. So I suppose everyone's disappointed after the French match. So it'll be just good to see if we can get back in and get a good performance going.
What do you reckon it goes strength wise?
It's they're not far off full strength. I'd say.
Will he put that out?
The team was named today. Yeah, sorry. just earlier. So he's rested a few players. Brought in Peter Mann. He's come back in. Jameson Gibson Parks gets a start at nine. So I'm looking forward to seeing him play now. He's really in form at the moment.
Sexton
captain again. Murray on the bench. So probably the first time he's been dropped to the bench, and it'll just be good to see our response to that. But looking forward to seeing Gibson Park now. Just he's an attacking player. It's what we need. The team is just often kind of criticised for a lack of flair, but he certainly likes to bring a bit to it. As I said, looking forward to seeing James Lowe play. So it should be a good match, yeah.
Lowe will bring flair. There's something I suppose something to sign about it. At least there's new players coming through, like as you mentioned, Keenan and
yeah, Ron and the, like the Welsh haven't been going well. I just seen that they've a bit of disarray in the coaching staff. There was their defensive backs coaches let go there. So we'll see how they respond. Like they won the Six Nations last year and they finished second from bottom this year. You know, but look, then again,
they're brutal against Scotland.
New coach, they were. Yeah, so look, they'll be coming. They're a very proud nation. They'll be wounded. So will Ireland. So. Best way to get back on the horses to get a win. So
6:30 Friday or 7:00 Friday evening, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think. You used to love the Welsh anthem, didn't you?
Oh, absolute tune. We had our own Welsh anthem.
We did, yeah.
We are Welsh. that's for another day again.
There's actually going to be a chant podcast as well.
We do have a good few ones.
Crackers out. That's Robbie Roscoe, I think.
Thank you, Adrian.
Good stuff. And we're going to come back with GAA.
Chance here for Jesse Sloan. Can he score? Yes!
Okay, we're back with GAA. Well, when we were recording last Tuesday, lads, it came through to the Sligo game. It wasn't known that the COVID cases came out, and then it came through it was cancelled just as we were finishing up. As we all know, the game didn't go ahead. There's been a lot of split opinion over that. I could ask you, what do you think? I still don't know what I think should have happened. Well, I think the GAA should have given Sligo a bit of leeway. I think it's elitism. I'll go into that in a minute, but what's your views on it?
I just think, look, from a player's point of view, like welfare is the be all and end all.
Yeah.
You know, I just think basically there's two decisions here. One decision they play, you know, TV money with revenue, but it basically is revenue versus welfare. And I mean, it's hard to justify not going down the welfare route when there's a decision to be made.
Yeah, I'd agree with Ross. I mean, there seems to be a bit of a split over what we're... Like, I mean, we're kind of hearing two different statements from the county board, from the players. Like, I think the players wanted to play. Now, whether they wanted to... whether they wanted to play this week, this weekend, well, yeah, into the last weekend.
That's the key thing, I suppose. It's not... Yeah. Not as known. I think they wanted to play.
Yeah.
They could play, but...
It's... They obviously have the best interests of everybody involved with them at heart. I mean, you know, you got to think about close contacts, your family and stuff like that. But I think overall, it seems like the players wanted to play.
It seems like they had to make a call early in the week. Like,
That's
what it is. It's like basically
Tuesday it was announced.
Yeah, so basically, you know, they had to make a decision then. It wasn't sure what the level of it was. People were still getting tests. We didn't know how close contacts were. But I mean...
And more came out after that.
Yeah.
Tomás O'Shea then tweeted on Wednesday morning, wasn't it? Or was it? Yeah, would have been Wednesday morning, or maybe it's Tuesday night, and created a complete utter storm about it.
Yeah.
He mentioned as if Sligo were lying. That annoyed me, and I also heard people involved in Sligo J kind of mention that as well. Oh, we knew about this coming 2 weeks ago. That kind of pissed me off. I can't imagine anyone was saying 2 weeks ago, right, we have our COVID cases planned now for 2 weeks.
Sure, they want to play the match. Yeah. Why?
So. That and me, O'Shea came on Ocean FM there. I kind of listened.
Yeah, I have listened to it as well.
It was not new in what he said. Then you go forward to Friday night. It was late enough.
It was.
The players, there's a statement.
7:00, was it?
Like, the game was supposed to... No, the game was cancelled this stage anyways. So maybe if the players release that statement on Tuesday. I know it's easy to say ifs and buts now.
There's ifs and buts, but like it's just such an unprecedented moment. Like, do you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And like nothing to look at to say this is the right way to do it or this has happened before and this is how it worked out. But like it's with COVID, like there's just so many uncertainties and you don't know. So it's like they had to make a call early in the week. And at that stage, then you had to just look at the welfare and go that way with it, you know?
Yeah, I think it feels kind of though like the county board tried. Look, I'm not going to go down the road of criticizing people involved in an amateur organization, but it does, like, again, from the total outside looking in, it feels like to me that the county board kind of made the decision for the players. It doesn't feel like they seek for a postponement rather than...
Well, that's a lot of people are kind of getting annoyed about it and saying, yeah.
Like, I mean...
They've just conceded.
Yeah, they just conceded the game. I mean, like, I know there's very little leeway in the championship this year, but they could have played this week and the county final could have been next week.
This is my problem. The game's back. Where they put it back into a corner that they couldn't put games forward because they've already happened.
Well, John Horn came out and said, he came out only last week and said he's the president of GAA and said, we'll only think of postponements at All-Ireland semi-final stage, right?
Yeah.
Now, the Sligo-Galway game was 2 games away from All-Ireland semi-final. All that was in between it was their game, then the corner final, then your All-Ireland semi-final. Now, who gets to All-Ireland semi-final? The best teams. And then they'll think of postponements. That's pure elitism to me, my opinion.
And that's why I think Tomás O'Shea's comments, and I think it was leveled at him, and I never seen him respond to it. that what would have happened if it was Dublin and Kerry.
100%.
Do you know?
But Dublin went to the championship last Saturday. Even. Not a chance.
Not a hope. Even I think...
Kerry were thrown out Sunday, then they were.
Exactly. But then like with the availability now of the rapid testing, I mean, why could the game... It's, you know, fast forward to... Like, there's no reason why a game these days can't be played on a Wednesday and the final played on Sunday.
No, but they're contradicting themselves as well. A few weeks back they said they weren't tied to the 19th of December All-Ireland final date. Push things back a week. Jesus Christ.
That makes common sense. Like,
yeah.
But they have a couple of gap weeks.
With the football on that, they were no problem putting games back.
Like, I know the Dublin Hurlers and Cavan and Lisbon, they've been on 3 weeks in a row. Like, in 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, you can take... What's a week going to do if... Because there's nothing planned for January... Or February at this stage, or anything, any day next year at all.
But wasn't there FAI Cup clashes with the soccer that they were able to put back?
And it was Derry City.
Wolves and Derry, yeah.
And then, but that wasn't even, you know, didn't make any news, but I think this is because it was the first Gaelic team of hopefully.
Yeah, possibly, but also on that, the Offaly Hurlers and the Sligo Hurlers didn't field their first Chrissy Ring games. I could be wrong. Well, I don't know if they conceded, but they couldn't field because of the COVID case and close contacts. And there was no, maybe it was because it was GAA, and I suppose Galway are a big team, that more was made of it. Not saying that Sligo Hurlers are awfully hurt down big team, but that's down in Christy Ring.
It seems to be blown up massively now in the national media.
It was, and I think a lot of people have used it for sticks to beat people, maybe their own agendas with as well, to be honest. In and around Sligo and outside of Sligo.
Yeah. It does feel that way. Like,
there's a bit of bitterness.
I think there's just fear that there's Sligo were setting a precedent that other teams are going to start not pulling out, but, you know, not being able to field, and then that'll affect the competition, the integrity of the competition. And then, obviously, if matches aren't going ahead, then people are losing revenue from money streams from the matches going ahead. And
yeah, I know that whole point of it, yeah, as well. But I'm more about the playing side myself. Like, I don't think calling up club players wasn't... that wouldn't have worked, in my opinion. Panel of 32, right, they've said, and maybe 18 were available, is what we hear. And people, can you go with 18 to Galway, to Salt Hill? Some would say, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably can. There was injuries as well now, in fairness. But do the other players who are out for, who are only going to be out for 2 weeks because of a virus that has taken over the whole world.
Yeah.
Like, did they deserve a chance for training?
Under 20s, can you call up under 20s?
They were knocked out back in. I don't know if they're, I think they are back training at the minute, but I don't know about that. There's no junior team really this year because there's been no junior championship. So, look, I know a lot of people wanted ball played. I would love to see the game go ahead myself, but I think Sligo should have deserved the chance to have a go ahead in the right circumstance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, yeah.
Right. But then rumours come out, actually, you heard as well, that Galway had it, but didn't... Now, this obviously isn't true, because they're going to kind of final this year, but I talked that 16 Galway players had it and didn't say anything.
But... to be honest, like, we've already seen in a couple of the club championships, like, I think it's... And it could happen in this All-Ireland, that a guy tests positive on a Saturday, and he is told by his manager to play on a Sunday and say nothing.
Where did you see this? You seen this in a club championship?
Well, it happened in Waterford with that Dungarvan team.
Oh, sorry, yeah. And they took the trophy. But
I wouldn't mind if it was the Waterford Intermediate Football Championship. I mean, with a good pre-season, I might get out for it.
We've used Waterford twice now, haven't we? We can't go to New Zealand. We can't go to Waterford. Yeah, I forgot about that, actually. Yeah, that was mad. But
I don't know. I just think, like... Yeah, it is going to be...
I would say players are under pressure. Just say it's the All-Ireland semi-final or final day and you show one symptom, which is no taste. Now, you know you get away playing a game with no taste. You go tell someone and risk missing out in All-Ireland final.
Isn't there a thing as well that players would have felt under pressure from their workplaces as well? Like, bear in mind, they're going back into the
working environment. That's a massive
thing. So if there's a COVID scare in the camp and your employers are saying you're staying in that camp and you're expecting to come into work here on Wednesday, Thursday, like... Yeah, you've got to speak. I think of that.
But there's a big thing as well. Questions need to be answered. I've seen, and like heads need to roll type thing. But like Connacht Rugby, who are professional, haven't been able to play their last two games because the professional opponents have caught COVID.
Correct.
They're in a bubble and they caught it.
Yeah.
Now,
St. Joe Soap, the student who goes training catch. Of course, he's more at risk catching it. Like, it can happen to anyone.
Yeah. I thought people were nearly like giving out to the players that they caught COVID. I mean, it's such an
I thought that myself. I felt that, and that annoyed me. It did annoy me.
It sounds absolutely crazy that you could blame someone for picking up this virus. Yeah,
they were obviously they obviously weren't doing the protocols. I've seen all this thing and this and that, like
nonsense.
Absolute nonsense. But that's back to a grinds my gear type thing. I think bottom line is they should have had the chance to play the game.
Yeah.
Realistically, I think everyone's played now in a championship. I know London and New York weren't in it, but that's a different story completely. Sligo are the only team that didn't get to play a championship game this year. So, that.
Are the lessons learned all round is the question. Like, is it going to happen again?
Well, it could come out. It's Tuesday today. It could easily come out for the weekend.
Yeah.
Cases are going down a bit. But that's my thought on that. I thought they deserved it. So Sligo had no football this year at all. I don't know what that means for Paul Taylor or what is going to happen there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it's it'd be kind of up in the air in the minute, I suppose.
Yeah, well, no one knows when football's going to start next year. I think GA are going to release a kind of draft plan in December of what they plan to do for next year. But sure, no one knows what's going to happen after Christmas anyway. Yeah. It's weird. Like, as I said, someone, the pandemic doesn't care about Connacht Saint Fine in the west of Ireland. It doesn't
really. And it should do.
Yeah, it should. Oh my God, Saltell would have been a big one. But no, that's that. And I suppose we'll probably hear more about the future players and management coming down the line. But they didn't get a chance to play in the championship, and I think that's a sad thing, to be honest.
It is, after the effort put in.
Yeah, yeah. Hurlers were beaten, gallant effort in the Christy Ring, which was effectively a quarter final. I was trying to. I see Neil McKenna, I shouldn't mention too much, but he was tweeting the other day. He couldn't figure out the structure of the Chris Drink, because I was trying to figure it out myself. I mentioned it in the pod last week.
Yeah, I had a look at it after you said it last week, and my mind still twisted about it.
Wicklow kind of got punished for beating Roscommon in the first round. Yeah. Roscommon seemed to get a bye to a quarter final where the bets like winning is by 3 points.
So they appear to be true to the semi finals of it now, didn't it?
Basically, yeah. Yeah. It was supposed to be a group structure, but anyways, that went out with the COVID. But
seems like a good performance from the Hurlers now.
Derek Cox sent a tweet out. He's seen I might just find it here because there's a few different stats in it.
Yeah, I seen that myself. Yeah,
players missing from last year.
Like, I mean, they stayed very close to them, because I suppose Sligo will be playing, like, they were playing their league at the very bottom rung of hurling.
Yeah, 3B. You know,
they got promoted from 3B to 3A.
First ever Christy Ring game, it's true. 9 of last year's winning Racker Cup team unavailable, including 4 All-Stars in the past 2 years. 7 debutants, 7 more newcomers who were on the bench. 10 GA clubs representative. Now, I think there's only 5 GA hurling clubs in Sligo, so obviously the spread
the mix, yeah.
92 at the Buckies, all scored 10 minutes left and lost by 3. They weren't far away at all. This wasn't, there was updates on radio, which I listened to a bit, but this wasn't, there was no streaming of this, which was pretty shitty, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, very disappointing, actually. Yeah, I was
following the scores, and then it just stopped after a while online.
That's well, yeah. I was in that league, like, I don't know what the 4G's in that league. Check in at league if you can. but it was disappointing, I suppose, but I don't know, it's progress made, they're out of that dungeon they were in, I suppose, in the league, so that's a step up. And I don't know how it works now, actually. Again, I don't know how it works. Is there relegation to Chris Deering? Because the record winners are going to have to come up. So does someone have to go down?
Are they forfeiting relegation this year, I think?
Possibly, maybe that's it. So, but then, as I, that was back to the rugby last week. There's no reward for winning the Racker Cup. There has to be something. Anyways, yeah, they were unlucky, but a lot there to look at the future. Like, I know the likes of Kevin Banks wasn't played. There's a few transfers in. Is the Hanafy brothers, is it?
Yeah, Gerald Kelly Lynch scored 12 points, yeah. I think. And his brother plays as well, doesn't he?
Tony, yeah, and Connor Griffin as well. They're another dual player playing. So, yeah, it's disappointing, I suppose, that they're out. Roscommon would have been playing a higher standard than us, but and the Sligo team is very much a work in progress, a very young team.
Yeah, bodes well for the future, though. Like, I mean,
it does, yeah.
You know, like, my hurling knowledge wouldn't be huge, but, like, you know, Roscommon have always played.
So you went to a failure with Caldery back in the day, probably, did you?
No, I never played. Did you not? Never played. Oh, yeah. And even with a good golf swing like I had. I never took up the hurl. I thought it'd ruin the golf swing. So,
that's the hurlers,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, I know. But look, just I just think, I know they've lost, and like, you know, like, sports teams don't really do moral victories. But I was just very impressed, you know, knowing at the standard that Roscommon would have been playing at compared to the Sligo team. And as Darius pointed out in that tweet, you know, all the changes that have been in the Sligo team this year. I don't know. It just seems impressive. It might be someone we look at getting on the show at some stage. Maybe with a hurling involvement. You know?
Tumultuous year with the management and WhatsApp being sent to wrong numbers and stuff.
It's happened to the best of us.
It has happened. When he's a man, that fear that comes over you once you realise. And delete for everyone, but they've seen it already. But anyways, that's another point. The ladies didn't have such a success. Well, the Turners didn't have a successful day, but the ladies also were beaten. They were up in Kinnegad against Kildare, a strong Kildare. I was actually at the game against Kildare last year in Tubbercurry to play in the championship. It was a lot tighter than this. 5-13 to 4 points. Not a good day for the ladies. In the intermediate championship, lads?
No, it doesn't. Not a great result, I suppose. I think that's them probably.
To play Clare next week, I need to get on to some PROs or whatever. To play Clare, that's in Toom. That's the last group game. It's a dead rubber, and I think, in terms of getting through. I'm trying to find the league table earlier for it, but to play Clare in Toom during the weekend, but it'll take some fight to bounce back from that. You were admiring the headline in
it was optimistic. There was a great write up there from Alana Cunanan there in Kinnegad. They're just, you know, like, look, I suppose they'll be disappointed with how their season's turned out so far. But I think with the ladies team, they've been progressing over the last couple of years as well.
Yeah, they have. They mightn't be at the level they were a few years ago, but it's intermediate. It's tougher right now, in fairness.
Yeah, it'd be a big step up there for me.
And I just went through the team. A lot of the, I suppose, older regulars, they would have associated with them over the years of success weren't there, but no, it wasn't to be for them. They lost. They had a heavy defeat, but they play Clare this weekend and hoping to bounce back from that. NHG, oh, I mentioned actually a GA podcast, Colin Parkinson.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Now, he might be everyone's cup of tea, but I don't believe he put that in on purpose, as everyone's saying, to stitch up. I can't see how what it would have done good for him.
What good for his career is that done? Like, I mean, how is he going to? Who's going to give him interviews? Do you want to explain the situation?
He's lost all the county match now, surely.
Yeah, I don't know.
I want to hear. I'm thinking, why would he?
How did he not take it out of him?
I think laziness, pure laziness.
You wouldn't see that in the Sligo Way podcast.
Well, I nearly left those bits in last week. I could have took out, but the newspaper reviews. But Brendan Price, I didn't do anything too wrong, but it's bad enough. You saw him, but fellas are worked. And
The interesting take I'd have from that now is if the players want Eddie Brennan to stay on as the manager, what did the county board do?
Well, nothing.
Has there been any communication?
I don't know. It's been all quiet since you come out and call a fellow weasel for writing about it on Twitter. See?
they lost to Clare by a point, was it? Was it Clare?
No, they lost, but I think it was before in the end, was it? Yeah, they played Clare in Kilkenny.
Yeah, sorry, it was
well bet by Dublin. They bet Dublin last year in the championship. It was massive. And they gave a typical game to the Ireland quarter final.
So he's obviously improving it. I mean,
Oh, no, there's no doubt about that. I think he wants it's money. But
his heart's in the right place, in fairness, you know.
He mentions his own fee then or something. Like, it's just he was not caught badly. He didn't think too wrong, but it shut and went out. It's like in The Simpsons or Gabo and Kemp Rockland. That are the holy SOBs. All the kids in Springfield are SOBs. At least he didn't say that with all the kids in Leash. But bad day. Parkson actually tweeted me last night privately. I didn't say anything. I said I might listen to the hour 18 version. I said the hour 11 version. And he just asked me to take it down. And I said, no bother. And he said, thanks. And that was it. And then he did go fight.
Nice show of respect there.
So yeah, he was putting a few flyers.
Fellow Potters. might be a job there for us. But yeah, that's GA, lads. Back next week. The ladies playing Clare. I don't think there'll be much else going around. We might get chatting a few. Do you watch Kerry Cork, actually? It was a dour game.
I didn't even think they were going to get the equaliser, let alone the goal.
No. I was disappointed, obviously, with my Kerry roots that Kerry got knocked out. I also had a financial investment in them. I'm not sure which one it was, but
I'd Kerry win
the All Ireland in a random double with Lewis Hamilton to win Sports Personality of the Year.
He is going to win it, isn't he?
Yeah, once I found out Rashford wasn't eligible.
Is he still not?
I think they're going to stand by that. They'll give him a special murder award.
Kerry let you know. Kerry were brutal, I thought.
They were brutal, so yeah. Well, I suppose they weren't going to beat the doubles playing like that. No. Anyway, you know.
The conditions were you're not going to get those conditions.
But I thought, as you said that last winter, when held on, in fairness, the great patience at the end of the game as well, in normal time, to win the draw that last three. But remember Sean Meehan, his number six, drove through and looked like, here comes equalising point then. And he kind of thought, I can't shoot here. Passed out the fella who thought the same. Passed back, Connolly shot was up, and I said, that's final whistle. And the buck, Mark Keane, popped up and back in
the net. He was at Collingwood, was he?
He's still with Collingwood. And Price,
how does that work?
Price released him. They let him play. Because actually, they're playing Tipperary in the final this weekend. And I can't think of his first name. O'Riordan from Tipperary. He's over with Cawthorn. I could be wrong. But he's with an AFL club as well. And they haven't released him. Jeez. But he's a top player. So he's in their backroom team now because he can't play. So they were saying Tipperary were requesting to get him released for this weekend, but they won't do it. But Collingwood are doing it for the buck.
That's nice.
So, yeah, up the pies. But that's it, lads. We're going to come back with... Turn a page here. Oh, yeah, Lock of the Week.
Lock of the Week.
Smooth Jimmy.
To be Smooth Jimmy's Lock of the Week.
Ooh, that's a big lock, all right.
Okay, it's time for Smooth Jimmy's Lock of the Week. Number two. Talk about number one. We talked a little bit about the show. Not a good day for us.
Not a good day.
Weekend.
Forget about it. Move on.
Right. That's gone. Congratulations, Ross, on your handy win. Murty, over to you.
Right. So, yeah, we're back with Smooth Jimmy's Lock of the Week. Ross, again, has gone to the rugby zone. Ireland against Wales Friday night. Ross, give us your selection.
I've gone for James Lowe to score a try during 80 minutes. What price did we get on that?
We got 7-5 on that. So just a shade of odds against.
They're not great odds, are they?
It's his debut.
In 80 minutes, yeah.
No, 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 it's not an insult about your lock of the week.
Kind of is.
No, I mean, I thought it had to be higher. Like, for, like, might be feck all tries in that game. Anyways.
It's in now.
It's in. Oh, sorry. It's in.
Adrian, we move on to you. Ross, you can critique his one then.
Yeah, no, he won't because he sports me own now. So,
Edo, your selection?
I need to apologise again. It wasn't you. It was Paddy Power's odds I was getting on about. I'm going for Mio to beat Galway in the kind of final. A bit of a lazy bet, maybe. But yeah, I think, although I tipped Roscommon last week, Mio looked impressive. And I know the league is the league and it doesn't mean much. I know Galway had a different team out. But it's a lot of points to me. Oh, actually, hockey them. And that's a big distance to make up. No matter who comes back.
Yeah.
So,
with no backdoor this year. Do you think it's focused Mayo, Adrian?
Well, it could be. You tell me. You're the man in the know up there.
Well, I think it'll be typical Mayo to win the All-Ireland this year because there'll be nobody able to. We're veering off on the lock of the week. Would this not be the most Mayo thing of all time?
Yeah.
The fans can't go. They won't be able to have a celebration.
They won't. Do you think?
Well, they'll have to lift restrictions there for a couple of days.
This back to lock of the week's going up. I was up working with Coke last week, and this fella had to show me around to all the things I was doing, like in the Coke machine, Coke factory in Ballina. So I, of course, 3 days of this fella. I said, clear. I go, you're into the GA, I suppose. I must get the only Mayo man in Mayo in order not to be interested in GA. 3 days with no,
not a long, not long 3 days. Sport, yeah. How did you bond?
Huh?
How did you bond?
Tell them how much I love Coca-Cola and stuff.
Flavoursome.
But it would be the most Mio thing ever, I think, if they do it. No, they mightn't do this weekend after my thing last week, but I think 10 to 11 is a good price for Mio to beat Galway.
Yeah, I like that one too. And then to complete Smooth Jimmy's Lock of the Week, I've gone for something slightly different. It's for the US Masters for the three balls on Thursday. So I've gone with Xander Schauffele to win his three ball at 10 to 11. He's playing great golf. I expect him to be up there at the end of it. I do think Bryson DeChambeau might overpower the course this week, but this bet is only for him to win his match on Thursday. He's in there with Vijay Singh, who wouldn't really have a chance against a guy like this at the minute. So I like that one at 10 to 11, and that makes this week's lock of the week 7.75 to 1.
So James Lowe, score try anytime, Mayo, and Xander Schauffele to win his three ball
on Thursday.
Right. That's Lock of the Week, Smooth Jimmy.
Oh, the Sligo, Sligo dancer. There's a Kaylee in the tavern, come on in.
When you drive the ball down the field, what are you doing?
On the floor again.
Okay, Sligo dancer, week two. Here we are. Sligo stats romped home last week with the percentage. I was disappointed Marty Morrissey didn't get more traction. He wasn't replying.
No.
Even though a fellow from Clare, plays with Clare Herders, kind of wrote, kind of tried to get him in.
RTE policy on accepting wife runs.
Marty's been accepting for years. People throwing them at him in the stands. like Joe Dolan of GAA. I want him to win, to be honest, but no, Sligo stats.
Just shows you the following of Sligo stats.
Yeah, big
powerful,
following.
Big beast.
So we'll get them to you. Okay, lads. It's going to text there. Great work on the podcast, Willie Rogers. Fair play to Willie Rogers with the question. Dancer of the week. I'll go to you first, Marty.
My nomination for Dancer of the Week this time, I was going to just nominate the overall Sligo Rovers team, but I've gone for that absolute... jungle panther of a save in the sticks.
Like
a jungle panther jumping across there.
Can we make a segment? Jungle panther play of the week.
Yeah,
I like that.
He was just hoovered that header out last night. My
Gordon Banks ass.
My Sligo dancer of the week nomination this week, going for two in a row, is Ed McGinty.
Yeah, you're writing down jungle panther there.
Yeah, jungle panther.
Use that one again. On the football site myself, and since you went Rovers, I thought I'd go with the boys up the road who done us a favour. The boys passed the Barnsmore gap. Ritzy Biddy of Barnes open again now soon. But anyways, I'll go for Ollie Horgan. Charismatic character.
Great character.
Yeah, one that the league and football and sport in general needs. Yeah, he's good. And he's done some job with them, in fairness, on the, I'd say, less than a shoestring budget.
Big time.
So, yeah, although... wouldn't be the Harris' biggest fan, but last night war. So Ollie Horgan would be my dancer of the week, and I hope he wins because I say he would wear the jocks. So that's me, Roscoe.
Yeah, just keep it in the vein of the Rovers team. I'm also going to stick with Rovers for dancer of the week. Listen to the commentary last night with Keith O'Dwyer. It just made me pause and remember a time back in 2011 to the FAI Cup final. when the Rovers bet Shelburne, we went back to the Liffey Valley Hotel, I think, and it was a big night. Woke up the next morning in Shane Ward's room, I believe, and Keith O'Dwyer came into the room.
I didn't realize it was Wardy when you're telling me.
So woke up the next morning, Keith O'Dwyer came into the room. I had actually a maid over from New Zealand at the time who'd never even been to a football game in his life. So his first ever match was in the Aviva Stadium. So woke up the next morning, I was like, where did this fella head off to? Keith O'Dwyer pops in the door and goes, Ross, can you come and take your friend out of my room? He's naked and won't stop snoring. So, Keith, you found him in the corridor. You brought him in. You gave him a place to stay that night.
He took his clothes off.
That's Adrian's words there now. I don't think he took his clothes off. So, Keith, never got to say thanks on behalf of Jimmy Muir from Taranaki. So, Keith, you're my dancer of the week.
Very good. Very good. That would usually be it, but we're going to come back with a little more correspondence after this.
Hello. My name is Mr. Burns. I believe you have a letter for me.
Okay, Mr. Burns. What's your first name?
I don't know.
Okay, we're back with a second correspondence bit this week because we tweeted while recording to get any correspondence in, and a lot of you did. So we better read them out now before they're stale next week. I'll start. First one comes from Ryan Lynch, at Ryan141. At Ryan Lynch141 on Twitter. You were tagging this, Murty. So it's Shady McGee here. Shady McGee here. Just wondering, how does Mert get his hair so luscious and healthy looking? Hashtag Silver Fox. Murty?
Well, it's always nice to hear the compliments. I think that's come in from Ryan's housemate there, Laura.
Okay, sorry. I thought he had a different name. He'd call himself Shady McGee.
Yeah, that'd be.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
A bit of play acting, I think.
Yeah. So I suppose I've got like just one tip for keeping your hair, what do you call it, luscious and healthy
luscious
looking.
Luscious and healthy.
Yeah, I condition every second day. Some people make the mistake of conditioning every day.
Right.
Huge mistake, yeah.
Every second day.
Okay. Condition every second day. Usually banana extract I find is the best.
Not eucalyptus, no?
No, banana. Right. Always banana.
Rinse, lather and repeat. That's the old tactic, isn't it? Very good. Nice hair. I haven't noticed your hair before, but nice hair. You
can read the next one out, Roscoe. What do we got here? We have from John Bannigan. And Mert, I think this is for you as well. Very popular here with the questions. Any tips for how to play Omaha High-Low?
Omaha High-Low, it's one of the more trickier poker variations to play. Actually,
what's the context behind this question?
Yeah, your sporting hero from last week, Frankie Feeney, he got stuck playing a game online.
Frankie Montana.
Yeah, Frankie Montana. Actually, I got a lovely the face app there of sent to me of Frankie.
That must have went around everybody.
Frankie Feeney imposed as Tony Montana now, and it was
and that was actually form. It was John Bannigan who came up with that. No, Frankie got stuck playing. He won a ticket for an online Omaha High-Low game there on Sunday. So at 5 o'clock on Sunday, I was settling in to watch Liverpool Man City. I got a text on my phone just to see what I played for him. It's a really complicated game. I'm not going to explain it now. But I ended up finishing 8th and cashing $170 for him. So there's a good end to that story.
So you did figure it out.
I figured it out. I went out in a bluff, so I probably over-figured it out, if that makes sense.
Okay, very good. Marty, you up next.
Now I'm just unlocking my phone. We got one in from Paul Shooter Kelly. He asked, will one of Rovers' most famous fans, Paddy Joe Burke, be able to attend European fixtures in July? Paddy Joe, as we know, he's an absolute character. He could rock up in the showgrounds in a Roscommon jersey. It's not something you'd see there all
the
time.
The hairdresser from Roscommon Town.
Does the barber from he landed in with a lunchbox full of food up to the old Volkswagen end. Sorry, that's now the pet stop end. Paddy's a character. Shooter. I hope we get that. I hope the Germans have helped us out with that vaccine yesterday, and we all get to go to Europe next year.
Hair. He could get a fucking haircuts on the plane over as well if that goes through. One more here, Brendan Fitzsimons. I'm gonna try and pronounce, even though it's probably easy name. Brendan.
I was trying to tackle that myself there in Irish.
Brendan Fitzsimons, Fitz Osligo on Twitter. A bit of chat on the gone, but not forgotten of Sligo Leitrim. Will we ever see El Chafico again? Now, I must explain to people who don't know, El Chafico will be the Chatpool Derby, Chatpool Rovers versus Chatpool United.
Yeah, the way I think about this game, I think Celtic Rangers.
Yeah.
Boca Juniors, River Plate, Barcelona, Madrid. Yeah. The world stops for it.
Bunanadan shuts down.
Shuts down. Yeah. We had talked about getting a bus up there one morning and getting a few flares, a few cans. Look, Brendan, I'd love to see El Chafico go back again. I think it'd just bring a new dimension to
El Shafco will be great to get back. Yeah. Which one are gone at the minute?
Chaffpool United play. They're the ones in team in Bunnadden still play. Yeah.
So the Rovers are gone.
The Rovers are gone, yeah.
I remember a story about Quayside days, right? That was a few wild days then. It was always Chaffpool. We played, not sure who was top of the league with us. We're in Division 1 in Sligo Leitrim. And we, I think it could have been Clare Rovers. It was tight. And I later defected to Clare Rovers. That's another story for another day. So there was two games left. And I think we bet Clare Rovers. We did. 2011. No. Sorry, anyways. Whatever happened, we went ahead of them. Okay? And it was in our own hands. And we were top. And we had Chaffpool Rovers at home, who hadn't won a game all year, only 2 points. And we're flying at the top. And we had a serious team, like Bellew and all. Fellas have played the League of Ireland. But there was a few pints Saturday night.
Of course.
And me and Heinz didn't get there till around 20 minutes into the game. I think we dressed as snooker players night four. McHugh actually ran across the pitch. Anyways, Chaffpool got the early goal and battened down the hatches. And the weary men of Quayside couldn't break them down. Absolutely fucked up a league. We went out and bet Ballygall next week, but it didn't matter because Clare Rovers went and bet Ballysadare, so they won the league. So a win would have done us against Chaffpool, who hadn't won all season, and they were struggling for a team at one stage. I think they might have started with 10 and they still beat us. So that's my Chaffpool. So I hope to see El Chaffo come back again. It'd be great to get.
Yeah, well, I think there's actually, like, even a story like that. I think we look for plenty of junior football stories over there. There's some great ones. Yeah. I have a few myself from the old Cartron days. We once played a season losing 17 of 18 games. The game we won was a walkover against Innisfree Celtic. So that was a particularly impressive year. But thanks for that question, Brendan. There's definitely more about junior soccer we want to do over the next couple of weeks anyway.
Sorry for delving off the question there, but that was my bit of Chaffpool trivia. But it would be great to get up to the Bunnadden Bowl again and get the flares out, as you say, Marty. And there was one question on Facebook. Liz Bannigan, when is Super Monday? I think I know what that's referencing to. A big drink on the Bannigan's house one Monday when I dressed up in Declan's DHL gear, and we painted ourselves black with coal because Declan had a good tan. So Liz, we don't know when Super Monday, and hopefully it'll never happen again.
Simpler times.
Simpler times. Yep. That's it, I suppose, is it?
Yeah, I think we've covered. I suppose next week, I think we might have a couple of interviews.
Yeah, we have a few interviews lined up next week. Won't sure how it's structured. We might get them out with the pod. It depends what the news is with us for this week.
Yeah. We'll see how the technology works for us. We're learning.
We're learning. It's a learning experience. And I suppose thanks for all the nice texts and messages come through. But
keep Murty, the texts coming in. Yeah,
Roscoe, thank you. Big thanks to Tano on the sound here beside us, lads.
Ito, pleasure as always.
We'll hit the road.
Happy with that, good man.
Right. I'm going bang to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walking around the final second, the whistle is gone, and Sligo Rovers at your champion. By the river side, you can match the tide as it flows.
Well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Get a guy to end the ride and clean out over the fence. Oh, he's a Cotton. Jesus, he's a Cotton. In the bookie shop, I don't know.